This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanisan, and this, and in with me in studio this morning, Kusu Chuang and Noel Lim. I think Friday brain has gotten to me, ladies and gent. I seem to be forgetting words once again. But how are both of you doing this morning?
Well, thank God it's Friday.
I think I've gone slightly mad already. In fact, I think I've gone more than slightly mad.
Why, being with us for one whole week?
No, just being 18 days into the MCO. It's
another 2 weeks to go.
So, Chuang, and what every is... indication that it might be extended, I think, right? Every indication, I said.
Yeah, that also goes down. I think the decision now goes to the health ministry, and will depend again on how
April
the numbers
10th, right?
Come
they
in.
Decide the April 10th. I've read. Yeah,
and the current MCO will last up to April 14th, and then we will see what happens then. But right now we've got an exciting hour for you coming up, of course.
As opposed to something that will send you back to sleep.
Yes, that. Before that, a little bit of a shout out to our breakfast grill today with Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, the former health minister. Noel Lim, you're going to be speaking to him at 8 a.m. today.
Yes, I like the fact you're putting me on the spot now.
A little bit of revenge for yesterday.
Yes, we'll be speaking with Dr. Zul, the former health minister under the Pakatan Harapan government. So I think he earned a lot of praise in dealing with COVID-19 outbreak in the early days. But bear in mind, it was probably quite manageable at that time. Okay, I won't say manageable. I shouldn't downplay his achievements, but I think it wasn't as bad as now. Obviously, it's not as bad as what it is now.
He didn't urge people to drink warm water to get rid of any viruses, so that's at least as a start.
Yeah, so I think he's quite a sensible minister. There were a lot, I think the social media, I think, were quite friendly towards him. I think they say, oh, really a good minister and all that. So we're going to talk about the fight against COVID-19, his thoughts about it. He's now the head of the task force in Selangor to advise the chief minister how to go about doing this. But this fight against COVID-19, I understand it's really a federal effort. It seems like the state can do only very micro, very community-based kind of activities, but it's really the federal that's taking over this strategy. But anyway, we also discussed his political future as well as that of Pakatan Harapan.
Oh, that'll be interesting. Definitely. I think he was one of the more likable ministers for sure. Chuang, now let's take a look at what we're going to cover in this hour. Chuang, what do we have at today? I've given you non-political. So how do you like the story I've given you?
I like it. I like the fact that you had me in mind. Actually, I spent a lot of time on Netflix yesterday. So I talk about how the new opiate of the masses is not the traditional, intoxicants, but the internet. Yeah, it's interesting.
And Noel, what about you? What are you going to be covering today? I've given
you
the politics.
So you give me something serious today. Yes. Yeah. Ministry missing the point on sexist posters. On the Doraemon posters.
Yes,
again.
It's correct. I mean, internationally, it's been covered as well. So we'll be covering more on that later. But before we get to all of that, we're going to be talking about Spider-Man's entanglement with our local police yesterday. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanisan with Kusu Chuang and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. And that was The Beatles with Till There Was You. And I saw this article on Malaysia Kini yesterday, and it was thoroughly entertaining. It was a picture of Spider-Man with our local police and army. And he was essentially stopped by a roadblock there. And the captions that were coming out for this, it was posted to Malaysia Kini, was the caption that was, Spider-Man trying to explain to our local authorities why he's an essential service to save lives.
No, it's true. He told the police that he was out there to save lives because what he was doing was an essential service, right? So I think that's what the Beatles were singing, because until there was you, the COVID-19 virus, Spider-Man doesn't usually come out during the day, does he? He's a nocturnal creature.
Yeah, so I think a few other people have done various stunts as well. One person came up, I think, in a dinosaur suit, and he went shopping. I suppose, under a movement control order, people tend to be a bit more, they try to be more creative, right? Because they have maybe nothing to do. In fact, for me, I think I was like thinking, maybe I should wear makeup to just go and throw rubbish. Maybe I should dress up and just go and get my food from the guardhouse.
And then speak in a Doraemon voice to the dustbin.
Yes, that one requires a little bit more practice, yes. But I'll try to get there.
Yeah, so this photo was taken by an anonymous Malaysia Kini reader who sent it and said that she took it from afar. I guess this is something that you have to take a picture of Spider-Man talking to our authorities. And all she said was that she saw Spider-Man get out of a van, park nearby and walk over to the two uniformed officers.
Oh, so he actually approached the police.
He approached them. So I'm not sure what actually entailed or what actually happened there. But her answer to when Malaysia Keeney asked her how did the authorities react, they said just like as in the picture, just cool and professional, which makes me ask the question, what other weird things have they seen on the job?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not just in Malaysia that Spider-Man has been spotted. According to Reuters, another Spider-Man has been spotted in the UK, right?
Yes,
In Stockport, actually. It's northern English town. A 34-year-old martial arts teacher named Jason Baird has also dressed up as Spider-Man. He was seen performing acrobatic leaps over cars and jumps. And he said the same thing. I'm here to save lives and therefore it's important that I'm out.
And did the police stop him?
I think so. What else would they do?
I don't think they have an MCO like that.
Oh, no,
here.
In the UK they do. They're told to stay at home.
Yeah, that was last week,
right?
The lockdown.
But it's not like a mandatory...
In America, it's not mandatory. They just urge to do that. But I think what Boris Johnson has said out, yeah. is that you're allowed to go out once a day for exercise, right?
Yeah. So this is his exercise, lah.
Right?
So apparently he's saying he's keeping children entertained amid the coronavirus pandemic. So he's dressing up as Spider-Man for his daily jog. So exactly that.
He's taking
his daily jog and doing acrobatics.
Yeah, so you know, there are people who work in hospitals to entertain children, so they may be dressed up
a
clown.
That's right. But there's a serious side to this, you know. There's a psychological effect of being cooped up every day for like basically weeks, right? This is harmless. This is quite humorous. But there's other sides as well.
I think like the Women's Aid Organization, for example, and several NGOs like Befrienders, they have noted a higher number of calls. More people have called in feeling very distressed. And also, I think there has been more reports on domestic violence. People are staying at home. So yeah, there is that serious side.
Yeah, I think when I was, it's important to stay connected with people. When I was, I had the grill earlier this week with Dr. Jason Leong and Kevin Jay, and we just talked about the comedy scene. When I asked him at the end, like, what do you want to tell other Malaysians, your fellow Malaysians? And Kevin's point was just communicate with people, you know. We all have to take care of our mental health at this point. Go and call someone. Today we've come to a point where human contact is not, to talk to another human being, you don't have to be in physical presence, right? you can call someone, you can talk. It's just about having that communication, about keeping that connection alive. And also just checking in on your friends as well. Just because a friend or family member disappears off the radar doesn't mean you don't check in on them. It's very important during this time.
Yeah, so what I try and do is I call people on Google Video. You know, the WhatsApp video thing, right?
Yes.
Which you can do. And then it's quite interesting. So those people who are quite... careful about their appearance and who get dressed up and all that, right? They don't pick up video calls on. So I say, hey, how come you don't pick up my video call? Oh, I don't need to see me in my pyjamas and no makeup. I'm like, oh, really?
What, stalking women?
No, that's not stalking, just telephoning them, you know, like as you do in normal life.
And don't you just now give them some notice to say, hey, I'm going to call you at this time.
I just call them.
So you're just spot calling people.
Spot calling people.
Amazing.
Then I called this other guy, old friend of mine from Penang. He was upstairs in his room without a shirt on. And I said, hey, what are you doing? Hey, nothing. Just... I'm just surprised they picked up my call. That's all.
You are the new version of prank calling, man. Huh? Prank video calling people. But, you know, speaking of Spider-Man, talking on the business level of things, the shooting for Spider-Man 3 has been postponed.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and which also goes to the effect of the larger, talking about Hollywood and the film business. A lot of movies, a lot of entertainment centers have been postponed.
I read something last night. Last year's box office takings for the month of whatever it is that we're in, April, was $261 million, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know what it is this month?
Nothing.
$5,041.
That sounds
can
about
you
right.
Imagine? It went from 260 million to 5,000 bucks.
Yes, and speaking about media and prank calls and videos and Zoom and all that, we'll be getting into more of that in just a few minutes and asking you what platforms have you been using. If you have any thoughts here, let us know on Twitter at BFM Radio or drop us a message on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang in the studio this morning. And that was Lonely Boy by The Black Keys. And that really reminds me of our previous conversation about Spider-Man being stalked by the cops there. But, you know, right now we're talking about platforms and a story out of Malaysia, Malay, Malay male, actually, shows that Netflix has leading other competitors like YouTube, Amazon Prime, and Disney Plus in terms of app installs and downloads, with 59 installs in the first quarter of 2020. But YouTube Kids services tops in terms of usage. Now, this is not exactly ours. This is based on analytics firms Apptopia and Braze, who said that YouTube collected about $110 million in in-app spending during the same period, the highest amongst streaming apps globally. So another thing that really popped out was the fact that Zoom went from a maximum last year of 10 million daily users to 200 million daily users in March.
Actually, I think Zoom has got limitations, lah. Because when you want to like record meetings between two people, it's not high definition. Unless I stand to be corrected.
And the strategy for Zoom, I think, is just keep it what do you call it?
Low memory, right?
And easy to download. Yeah, I think that's their strategy, because I think they found that meetings, you just need it in low definition. You don't need like high quality definition. But I mean, because I think if you need something high quality, you have to do it face to face, for example.
Yeah,
so
the thing
I think
is,
that's their strategy.
The amount of bandwidth that would require would be crippling to any company, and it comes to the purpose. Like, you know, you're not watching the meeting to appreciate the cinematography of how everything is. As long as you can
just record the meeting, like minutes later,
basically,
like that.
It comes down to that. But it really is showing where people are paying attention to, right? So Netflix is one. I think we expected that. YouTube is another one. But Zoom has really just come out very strong out of the gate here.
Yes, yeah. I was exposed to Zoom quite late, actually. I think it was sometime in 2018 when I signed up for an online course, and then it was a live online course. So I thought it was really great because you get to see the faces of your other classmates. So it's the environment's more intimate, like it's more cohesive, right? Rather than just looking at a PowerPoint slide, but you actually see your classmates.
Oh, intimate, that's right. My Penang group of buddies, all guys, all in this kind of like same age range, right?
Same mindset.
We've been having Zoom happy hours, right? And we all went in at the same time. I tell you, it's incredible, right? All had glasses on, all had no shirt on. All having red wine. I said, "Are you these Penang fellas are all the same, like, you know?
Birds of a kind flock together on Zoom."
It was just incredible, right? I said, "Where's your shirt?" I said, "It was too hot, lah."
So I said, we're saving on aircon. I don't really get a discount on electricity bill. Right?
Yeah, you know, of all the companies that have faced significant problems with COVID-19, Zoom is not one of them. So they listed just about a year ago. Just about a year ago, I think it was mid-April, actually. And
this is the geek talking line.
They opened at $62 a share, or around there.
Did you buy some or not?
No.
Today, yeah, I wish I bought earlier.
Today, there are $122 a share.
Nothing. That's not even triple.
High as $152 just a week ago.
Nothing. Roshan Khan is nothing. 2X is nothing.
But now I think they're scrambling to up their capacity.
Mm. They should.
I'm now getting messages to say there may be some interruptions here and there.
Actually, no. I tried to call you last week, and then the paid version. I tried to log into the website. It was down. It was down for 3 days in a row.
Yeah, so there's Chuang, right? Either trying people on WhatsApp video or Zoom video.
Actually, me and Noel had a few nice conversations on Zoom. Right? We did,
yes,
right?
Yes, like testing 1, 2, 3, yes.
That sounds like our own testing we do. Actually, we BFM started trying out Zoom. So we had a webinar yesterday, which was quite interesting.
Did more than 10 people?
And how did it go, Roshan?
It was very fun. I had Nirmala Subramanian from AKPK with me.
More than 5 people logged in?
We had about 100, actually.
That's not bad.
100
yes,
people
see,
were in.
You know, our promotion worked.
Yeah, and a lot of, I think, just a few things we need to learn here and there. But a lot of good questions came in about the loan moratorium.
So you can see all 100 people?
No. The only faces you see are mine and Nirmala's, and then the rest are view-only members.
Oh, so they can see you. You can't see them.
Think of it as a seminar, but on the internet. So, webinar.
So questions come in.
Yeah, questions come in. You can. One of our producers was helping go through the questions and push them out to me. It definitely shows that there are ways to go forward in terms of how digital is done. In fact, we did our first Instagram live session yesterday with AKPK.
Do you know what is happening, right? This MCO thing is changing the way people work and live.
Amazing.
Wow. They do.
That's insightful, Chuang. I wonder who said that. But I saw this meme a few days ago that said, the digital revolution in my company is being led by A, CEO, B, CFO, C, CTO, D, COVID-19. And I think the answer is quite clear there from what we're seeing. Right now, we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, we'll be talking about the the posters from the Women's Affairs Ministry, they have gone global, basically. And to take you there is Friday, I'm in Love by The Cure. To take you to the 6:30 a.m. news, stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. And that was Gone with the Wind is My Love by Rita and the Tiaras. And you're back with us on The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Kusu Chuang and Noah Lim in studio this morning. And right now, we're taking a look at essentially a continuing story. The posters that came out from the Women's Affairs Ministry has gotten quite a bit of attention. It's been taken, some of them have been taken down off Instagram, but not before being covered by some international news. I think one in particular was the Bolt report, which was, I watched it and it was quite embarrassing to watch that. It was painful, actually.
That was in Australia. That is also traveled to North America because Trevor Noah talked about it on his daily show, albeit from home. It just seems that Malaysia has returned to the good old days where we were the butt of jokes all over the world, not just in Malaysia.
Yeah, it was a bit sad to see because only just a few months ago, we had a Women and Family Affairs Ministry that was doing great work and
by
really
and large,
representing.
Yeah, doing a good job.
I mean,
yeah.
we criticized a lot of things, but the work was being done. And it was never, there weren't complaints about things like this, about the first job of just representation of women. So
no, I mean, they just demonstrated that time travel actually does exist because we had, until 3 months ago, a ministry that was in the 21st century, that was existing in the 21st century, and now, bam, abracadabra, here we are back in the 13th century.
Well, the government has changed, is one. And, you know, when I first saw those posters, the one with the one where they advocate to wear makeup while working at home, and the second poster was if you need to teach your husband or correct your husband in doing household chores to say it in a certain way, yeah. One was to use the voice like Doraemon and to, you know, have this funny laughter. So, yeah, so when I first saw it, to be honest, I should be, you know, I'm quite for, you know, equality and all that. To be honest, I actually thought they were quite funny when I first saw it. And I know some women obviously would not think it's funny, but I think the reason why I was tickled by it initially and also quite irritated too after that was the fact, I think when we had the Obedient Wives Club, if you recall that really just took Malaysia by storm. Yeah. So, and I think the Evening Edition did a nice talk back on that Obedient Wives Club. So I think I've been sensitized to it and you see...
You mean desensitized to it?
Desensitized yeah. to it. And so I look at it and I'm like, oh, well, I guess we're back to, you know...
Yeah, the 13th century.
Yeah, the good old times again. Yeah, but it's really embarrassing. Okay, so, but the point here, I think there are two things here, right? One, those posters kind of reinforce the role of women, that you play a traditional role, like, you know, you take care of the household and all that, right? So, wrong or right, people can discuss that. But it's the way one has to go about it, right? The fact that you need to speak to your husband in a particular way, like as though he's an idiot. Like, it's also quite disrespectful
Absolutely.
To men.
Absolutely.
It was jarring from many different things, right? One, the depiction, just the sheer, the way it was depicted from there. And this is essentially a government advice, right, on how you should run your family. And the use of certain words, like the Malay word for the nagging that they use, were quite insensitive in the sense that you're making it sound like women perpetually nag, or you have to ask your husband for this, or you have to basically appease the guy and make sure you don't insult him, or, you know, it was very jarring to see. And especially in a time when basically everyone has to be at home.
Yeah, no.
Both have to be involved in the house.
Well, the way the apology from the Women's Ministry was worded shows that cultural divisions occur, and they still occur in a small country of 33 million people, because the way they said they apologized was the fact that we're sorry if we offended certain quarters. Certain quarters, certain parts of society. Which means to say that there's a large, well, not large, but there's a significant portion within the country where this is the cultural norm, okay? And we have to accept that. I mean, no question about it, right? The thing is, whether it's right or wrong is not part of the discussion. I think when you're talking about cultural sensitivities, they exist, and that's why, you know, they behave and word their things in a certain fashion.
Yeah, I think I'm sure there are certain certain parties, certain quarters, as the ministry also apologized. I'm sure there are certain parties that are looking at us and being like, what's your problem? It's just a joke.
And apart from this fact of how you are stereotyping women, but you know, underlying that, there are also other outcomes. How a child sees how his mother is being mm-hmm. treated by his father.
Absolutely.
How the mother presents herself in the household, how much assertiveness she exerts in the family. It does affect how the child will see a woman, right? Whether the child is a girl or a boy. And it also can affect their education outcomes. It can affect not just their mindset and their values. But, you know, what they say, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, right? So it's very important to have a strong mother, a mother who is treated as an equal in the family.
Oh yeah, for sure. It what happens there, everything, really, your personality is built at home. Your view of the world is built at home. Everything starts there, and it sort of colors the way you look at other things and you move forward. And really, it really does start at home. Right now, we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, we'll be taking a look at the papers and the portals. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kunnison. In studio with me this morning, Noel Lim and Koo Soo Chuang. And right now, we're taking a look at the papers. And Noel, let's start with you. You've got the star there with a nice big headline, Lost and Found.
Right. It's about jobs, not about material things. So although the number of job losses reported is on the rise, SOXO apparently is putting in some measures to assist people to return to the workforce as soon as possible. So just looking at some numbers, March registers the highest EIS claim. This is the employment insurance scheme that's under SOXO. So you pay monthly to SOXO. I think then should you lose your job, you can claim some insurance money from SOXO. And so just the numbers are the loss of employment number was 4,917 between March 1st and 29. And the highest recorded was on March 16 with 428 cases. So even before the movement control order was announced, there was already, people were losing their jobs. And I think, you know, because this is really the outcome of a slowing economy as a result of that trade war and a few other things, falling FDI, for example. So I think everyone was just, feeling the pinch.
Yeah, this is going to be the first real test for the employment insurance system. It's only been around for a few years. And I think there are concerns that it's not enough. And that's why they've done all the different the loan moratoriums, the EPF withdrawal capabilities. And I think we'll be getting into this later, but U.S. initial jobless claims also have skyrocketed. But sticking back to the papers, Chuang, what do you have with you?
Well, I have got the fact that on the Malay Mail Online, they talk about having seen the MCO being enforced, domestic violence is back on the rise in Malaysia. And of course, this has been seen by the increase in distress calls and WhatsApp inquiries, the Women's Aid Organization, like what we were discussing earlier in the morning. I also have got the Malaysia Kini open in front of me, and we've now got a special envoy to the Middle East in the form of past President Hadi Awang, Abdul Hadi Awang. He wasn't given a cabinet minister post in the cabinet lineup by Muhyiddin Yassin, but now he's got the same ministerial ranking as other ministers because he's our man in the Middle East.
Yes, I forgot the Malay Mail open as well. And one story that was just posted up like a few minutes ago, TV-based learning sessions to start next week, says Education Minister. And basically, they're looking to use TV as part of they're looking to use RTM and to broadcast education sessions and learning sessions over the TV. And on a new channel called TV OK, OKEY. Let's hope the education on it itself is at least okay. Noel, what else do you have with you?
So that is, I'm pretty sure in the past they used to transmit shows, and I'm pretty sure when I was doing SPM, there might have been some shows on how to pass your XPM exams.
Really? On TV?
On TV, yeah. I'm pretty certain of that. Anyway, on Metro Harian, Harian Metro, so Bazaar Ramadan Online has been the idea that's being touted simply because Ramadan is closing on us, right? I mean, it's the 23rd, 24th, that period. In this month. And so, you know, with this discussion, there's a possible extension of a movement control order or some form of movement control. The question is whether Ramadan bazaars should be allowed to be open. Some states have said no. right now, no, for sure. And so I think you have to start looking at online options.
Yeah, I've got the CNR with me, and the headline is Jabatan Kuasa Khas Kabinet Lindungi Pekerjaan Rakyat. I think this is a new task force or a new team that was put together to by the cabinet last night to take a look at jobs. I think the word is that it's going to be focused on the SME sector, but let's see how that plays out, because there, again, as we've covered throughout the entire week, there's been a lot of questions raised by the SME sector about how they're going to be helped by this. And I think one of the particular things is how to protect jobs. And one of the suggestions has always been wage subsidization, not the current 600 ringgit a month, something a bit more substantial than that. I've also got the Malaysian Reserve that's highlighting the fact that car makers should brace for a slowdown here. And MAA, the Malaysian Association of Automotive Association, warns that they could see a significant purchases go down significantly as less people take up loans to buy cars.
Okay, well, The Edge also has a article citing the World Health Organization saying that Malaysia's coronavirus cases will peak in mid-April. What exactly that might mean for the lockdown period, it's open to moot, but I think last night I saw a story saying that the government will meet on April 10th to discuss an extension.
All right, and that's all we've got for the papers right now. Up next is the 7 a.m. news bulletin, and after that, we'll be getting into global markets. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.